All right, let's boogie. We're back here on The Word with G on ESPN 95.3, 13 past the hour of 12 o'clock. We're with you until 2. Greg Laundrie here. You there. All right, it's time for us to turn our attention to a program that had 50 wins last season, made it to the pinnacle of the college baseball stage in the baseball world in Omaha, Nebraska. A team that has high hopes for this 2022 season. They've started the year 12-1, just thrashing a bunch of the competition. They've got some really good young stud starting pitchers. They've got a ton of depth in the lineup. Joining us now for the first time here on The Word with G on ESPN Chattanooga is the head baseball coach of the University of Tennessee, Tony Vitello. Tony, what's going on? How you doing, coach?
Not much. I feel better about our team after listening to you talk there. We've got plenty of stuff to work on, but you listed off some positives there. So things are going in the right direction and definitely always trying to get better around here.
I am for hire, by the way, if you need a hype man to just kind of follow you around every time you walk into a room, something like that.
Oh, man, Sterl the DJ around here. If we hired anybody to get people hyped up besides him, he might kill me.
Okay, that's fair enough. We'll leave that to him, but as I mentioned, you guys are 12-1. But before we get into the season this year, and I know you don't like to look back a lot of the times, but just take us back for our audience here and our listeners here. Take us back to Omaha last season. We got a chance to go out there. I did personally go cover, you know, your first game against Virginia. But how was the entire experience, obviously minus going two and out, just getting an opportunity to be there around that environment? And to me, as a big baseball guy, just the environment was just so special. I had never been to Omaha before.
It's incredible just overall for the average citizen or fan or all the teams there, what they've turned that event into. And part of it is they really draw it out now. I mean, it's for money-making purposes, but it's in a perfect part of the city. There's a lot going on. And again, it's kind of expanded how many days that you're there, even if you don't win games, which, of course, we didn't. So I'd backtrack by saying the journey to get there was, while it was going on and now you can reflect on it, was really the thing. Winning enough games where you kind of knew you were going to host was a landmark. Beating Wright State from a come-behind effort was obviously a landmark.
Yeah.
Then finishing off the regional and then winning the Super. And then just kind of boarding up the plane and the pre-excitement and all the people talking about it was really what was special. The overall event, at least for me, I know for the kids it was maybe a little different, was more of a learning experience. Since I had been there last, again, there's more media stuff to it. There's more downtime. There's a lot of things you need to manage there. And then, two, the ballpark there plays different than most parks in the country, and you're going to have to need to adjust your game a tick when you're there.
And you mentioned the field and the ballpark in general, and something that I was sort of wondering was a lot of these – fields that you play on now in college baseball, a lot of them are turfed, and the one in Omaha is dirt and grass. So how much of a change is that for your guys and the fielders?
You know, I think once you get a certain amount of reps, the grass versus the turf isn't as big of a deal. In particular for us, we're blessed with the first turf field of its kind that we have. Now there's some that have duplicated. Oregon has a similar field. It's basically the most expensive turf you can buy, and it's supposed to simulate being on a real field, and it actually does. So I think once guys get a certain amount of reps, other than, you know, dew on the grass and a guy maybe losing his footing or just little things like that, sliding differently might be a little bit of a difference. But I don't think that's as much of a deal as they put way too much foul ground in that stadium.
Yeah.
You should get the fan. You know, Cameron Indoor is cool because the fans are 3 inches from the out of bounds area. You know, and then also on certain days, it's just the shadows make it tough for hitters to see. There are certain days the park plays huge, so it definitely plays more into the pitcher's hands overall.
No doubt about it. Tony Vitello, our guest here on The Word with G, the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee. Now, how much talk is there within the locker room leading up to this season about getting back to Omaha and using what happened there last year as motivation? Or is it just sort of understood that, hey, this is the standard now and we don't even need to talk about it. We just have to go out there and get to work.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us, it's more about our facility, our fan base, our recruiting. Mm-hmm. We've been here for a certain amount of time, but COVID extracted a year, and we're still trying to make sure we're on an incline in a ton of different areas. And if somehow, you know, just mentioned Duke basketball, and of course, Coach Barnes's program could be said this way too. If somehow we can get to a point where all things around here are great, and it's our job to kind of maintain that super high standard, that would be awesome. But for now, everyone here just needs to keep their head down and keep making sure we improve in a bunch of different areas, because while the Omaha trip was great for fans to see and for us to kind of put on the wall the year that we've been, we haven't accomplished a lot that we want to do around here.
Now, let's get to this year. You guys got off to a really hot start. As I mentioned, you're 12-1 this year. You played some lesser competition, some lesser opponents, obviously from up north who aren't used to playing outside just yet, so they're kind of getting their feet under them. How was this past weekend, though, at the Shriners Classic? What did you learn about your group from, you know, the way you started the season to getting an opportunity to face some bigger name schools, much like yourselves, like a Baylor and Oklahoma, and of course with Texas?
Yeah, I think what we learned is, you know, in a game where the money's really on the line and two teams are throwing punches back and forth, like the Texas game, small ball's going to come into play for sure. Whether we can move a runner, whether we can advance on the bases, whether we can defend certain situations. And that was one of the first tests that we had. There were a couple others, but we got a D or a C at best in those situations. We're actually going to meet over some of that today. It's really mm-hmm. our first opportunity to do so. But we were in a playoff environment against SEC quality teams. So I really feel like we got to simulate what it's like to be in our league. Also what it's like to be in the playoffs with, you know, the crowds the first 2 days were huge. And, you know, of course, all the kids playing are in awe of the stadium. I don't care how good they are. So just kind of more than anything, got to experience some things that are going to become valuable down the road. I think each game we've played so far, we've learned more and more about our guys. This guy can do this. This guy can't. Let's give this guy this role. Let's not give this guy's role. And it'll be a learning experience each game we play, probably until May.
Tony Vitello, again, our guest here on The Word with G. Now, my baseball brain just turned on as you're talking about, you know, situations and small ball and things like that. So I'm curious, during the season, how much do you guys get an opportunity to work on, whether it's bunting, whether it's hit and running, whether it's different situations, and how do you go about simulating that during a practice? Is it as simple as just saying, hey, we're going to kind of just do some live ABs and put guys on different bases and work different situations? Or how do you guys go about doing that during the season?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it doesn't sound like we have low standards, but I mean, we're kind of past that point where mm-hmm. you can do it the best way. And the best way is in scrimmages, just mm-hmm. to force guys to, if you think a guy like Seth Stevenson, who can run so well, needs to learn how to bunt, sure, he can go in the cage, you can talk to him about it, watch video, but the best way is in a scrimmage. Yep. And force him to do it or request that he do it. And, you know, we do simulate a bunch of those situations, but now that the season's in play, it's more about tweaks or adjustments as it is opposed to completely learning something. We do have a blip on the radar screen coming up here with a Saturday off day.
Whoa.
We'll play a doubleheader, yeah, Friday, and then play Sunday. And Saturday will be watch the Vols basketball team in the semifinal, hopefully, of the SEC tournament, because it's going to be 32 degrees around here. And so we'll go into our football indoor and kind of walk through a lot of that stuff. And it'll mm-hmm. be more chalk talk as opposed to grinding on our guys and wearing them out, because for all the reps we have, a lot of it is just managing these guys' times and bodies and things like that. So we're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, and that is, I'm glad to hear that they you know, they pushed that Saturday game to the doubleheader on Friday, because as somebody who played D3 baseball upstate New York near Canada, I'm telling you what, playing in 30 degree weather is absolutely no fun and doesn't do anybody any bit of good. So I'm glad that they did that. They pushed that into a doubleheader. Our game, I'm coaching a tournament this weekend, and they canceled the game on Saturday as well. So definitely smart there. Now, when it comes to the depth of your lineup, and I know you were asked about this after the midweek sweep of James Madison this week, but just talk to us a little bit about the challenge of finding consistency within that starting lineup with as much depth as you guys have.
Yeah, there is a lot of, you know, early in the year, there's about three positions that were wide open, and then there's also a lot of room for error to look for matchups or defensive replacements, pinch runners, as opposed to last year, we just kind of settled into this main group of nine guys, and then there was about three others that had a role off the bench. This year's different for sure. I mean, we got three different guys that can catch, and then all the way through the infield and outfield, I could bring up a lot of different things. But one X factor is injuries, and you don't ever want to see a kid injured or have something obstructing him from being out there at 100%. But because we've had a few of those, it's opened up the door to spread the wealth a little bit. And hopefully we're full force going into SEC play, and we can just pick who we feel as a coaching staff has done the best in certain areas. Excuse me. But certainly still a lot of open competition, and there's talent that needs repetitions.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of injuries, just really quick, I know Blade Tidwell, I believe, hasn't thrown yet. Where is he sort of in terms of his recovery and getting back with you guys?
He was off the mound for the first time yesterday.
Okay.
And that was not full tilt, but it was for the first time. And Seth Halverson is another guy who's his playing catch partner right now that's going through a different kind of, you know, throwing program or had a different kind of setback. But both those guys are on a similar timeline, and you hope that they join the team earlier in April as opposed to later, because it will be in April. But both of them have been very dedicated with their work. We were able to bring them down to Minute Maid with us so they could stay on task down in Houston. So obviously the world's a better place if they're pitching for us right now. But as I've kind of joked around, I mean, it'll be like we're the Yankees, hopefully, where we're signing a couple good free agents late in the game to add to what we have going on.
No doubt about it. And again, Tony Vitello, our guest here on The Word with G. Just speaking of the starting pitchers, how about those two stud freshman pitchers that you guys have this season, and Chase Burns and Drew Beam? What makes them each so special and so effective so early on this season?
Yeah, they both have the combination of right now stuff, or however you want to phrase it. They're SEC ready as it relates to, you know, velocity is a part of it, but movement on pitches, location, being able to throw multiple off-speed pitches. And we thought both those guys would be weekend starters before their careers were over here. Mm-hmm. I think they're able to do it again because there's been a window of opportunity with a couple setbacks to arms, but also they've earned it with their stuff, but also their presence. And a lot of things could fall under that umbrella of just their work ethic, their daily rituals, how professional they are. They go about their business in the weight room, being having some aptitude with Coach Anderson's coaching with them on the pitching stuff. It's just something where those two guys kind of act as if they're 21 or 22, as opposed to acting like they're 18 or 19 years old.
And as a coach, that's got to be absolutely outstanding, where you have some young guys that have such maturity to themselves as people and within their game. It's one thing to be able to pitch like you're a junior, senior, something like that, but to have a maturity as a young man as well, to be able to stay on task and do what you need to do and handle your business, I'm sure sometimes that can be a little rare, although I'm sure you wouldn't probably have them within your program if you didn't feel they could do that.
Yeah, no, it's true, but I mean, it's a different type of good kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple guys we inherited here our first year, and it's like, I got no problem with these guys. You know, if I had kids babysitting or if a recruit comes around, showing them around,
Yeah. But
handling what goes on in our league, but also just in collegiate sports in general, it requires a lot of maturity. And, you know, baseball is a sport where there's a ton of repetitions. So routines, you know, you all saw Nomar undo his batting gloves 75 times. I mean, routines are huge
Yep. In
this sport, and that takes discipline. And a lot of young kids don't have the discipline or just the emotional stability to kind of do what it takes to play at this level. And then also a lot of them just got to adjust to a whole different setting. Instead of being the guy that's always looked to as the guy, they might be asked to be a role player or to base run or play defense in order to get into the lineup. Whereas before, their bat did the damage, so they were in the lineup. So it's just a little bit different set of rules. And, you know, it takes some kids a little longer than others. But in this league, if a freshman's playing in the league as a position player or pitcher, they're probably a guy that's got that deal where they got enough skill and they've got enough character, they can make it to the big leagues.
No doubt about it. Tony Vitello, again, we're chopping it up with him, the UT baseball head coach, here on The Word with G for a couple of more minutes. Before we move off the pitching staff, talk to me a little bit about where your bullpen is right now, because I'm looking over the stats and I'm seeing a lot of low ERAs and I see some familiar names, obviously, the guys that have been there last year, some new names as well. Where are you at with filling out the bullpen early on this year, in this season? I'm sure it's sort of, hey, we know who we can rely on, and then we're also trying to figure out with maybe some of the new younger guys who I can rely on when we get into conference play.
Sure. Well, the rock of the whole deal is Redmond Walsh has closed a lot of games for us, and he's capable of going four innings at a time if need be. Mm-hmm. Camden Sewell is kind of like a Sean Hundley was for us last year, where he can close, he could start, he could go five or six innings. He can get us out of a big jam where there's a lot of pressure. So that was kind of a key for us last year. In addition to having a guy like Kirby Cannell that is a great defensive pitcher, consistently throws strikes, has good presence. The fans love when his mustache makes an appearance. He's got, you know, he's one of those clubhouse guys that you really enjoy having around and adds character to the team. So he's back, and I feel improved from last year as well. So that was kind of what made it go last year. I think now we've got some more guys that have either improved or added much-needed depth. So, for instance, Will Mabry, a lefty, and Mark McLaughlin were guys who supplemented that little deal we had going on last year. But they're a year older, and they've improved under Coach Anderson the way you would want them to as they get older. And so I think they can do more for us. And then in addition to that, there's some other freshmen that are down there that are capable as well. I mean, Ben Joyce is listed as a freshman, but he throws 102 miles an hour, and he's an older kid. He's just had a surgery year and a COVID year under his belt. And then Wyatt Evans, who finished last night's game, is another kid that's really physical to look at. He looks like a football player, but is a left-handed pitcher and again, an arm that's above 90 miles an hour. So there's some new faces that are looking to contribute to those guys. And I don't want to call it tryouts right now, but a lot of those guys are being thrown out there into the fire and showing that they're capable. And so eventually we got to decide on who's that one or two other guys that can supplement those five names that I mentioned.
All right, here's my last one before we get to our last segment. That's just a quick hitting segment of a couple quick questions for you. But I have to know, are you and Zakai Ziegler now best friends after your jersey swap?
Not yet, but I'm ready to be, man. Anytime he wants to hang out. I mean, maybe when I was younger, maybe, but I don't know if I'm cool enough to hang out with that guy. But I really wish I could go down and see one of their postseason games in the tournament or in the big tournament. But for now, we'll just follow on TV. And I feel like that group, because of his toughness and because of some of the other things that have gone on this year, they kind of got that deal where they're peaking at the right time, and they're also tough enough and have experienced enough adversity that they're built to last through a tournament like the SEC tournament, or better yet would be March Madness. So I'll definitely give them a high five when they bring home the trophy, either from SEC or March Madness. But and we got to get them to get out here and throw a first pitch for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm willing to bet that's not as good as his shot, but we'll see.
Probably not. But hey, don't sell yourself short. I've seen the flow and the lettuce that you have coming out of the back of that hat. You have plenty of cool and swag in you. I'm very positive about that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, here's our last segment. It's all called our triple play segment. We're going to get a little music going behind us. Three quick questions. First thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Sure, sure.
All right. Favorite thing about the game of baseball?
The competition. So many repetitions that involve competition.
Favorite thing about being in Knoxville and at Rocky Top?
The people. The people are incredibly loyal and energetic. It's an incredible environment here because of the way the people behave.
And this is the last one. This might be the most important question I've asked this entire conversation. Are you a double-stuffed or a single-stuffed Oreo guy?
Yet more is always better. I'm a bit of a glutton when it comes to food, so give me either one, but more is better.
That's what I'm talking about. Double stuffed all day. Tony Vitello has been our guest here on The Word with G. Tony, it's been really great getting an opportunity to chat with you. It's been awesome. I hope we can do it again at some point throughout the season. Thanks for taking some time, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it, brother. And thank you, Vol fans. Take care.
There he goes. Tony Vitello right here on The Word with G.